One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hey, I'm Steph.
I'm Alex.
And this is Not Today, our true survival story podcast, where we talk about true survival stories.
Right.
Today is gonna be crazy.
Okay. I know the category, or like generally
you
what
think,
happens.
Yeah.
I think I do.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
I don't want to hear it. No, I mean, listen. Today's story is not one for, I don't know, someone who's squeamish.
The faint of heart.
Yeah, the faint of heart. Like, if you're squeamish and if you, I don't know, you gotta...
There's some gore. There's some... okay. He's giving me a look.
Like, yeah, no.
Just you wait.
Yeah, well, it's not the easiest story to listen to, but I mean, as someone who enjoys true crime, I mean, it's a crazy story. So, I mean,
you're gonna tell it.
I'm gonna tell it, and if you listen, then that's on you.
That's on you.
That is
great.
On
great plug.
You.
Great plug.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess we should just jump.
Listen or don't. I don't care.
Fucking listen or don't, dude. No, I'm. Please listen. Oh my god. No.
Who's our person?
Oh, week. Yeah. So I was just going to say, we should just jump right in. So we're going to be talking about Tika Adams today.
Tika?
Yes. And, okay, everyone buckle in because it's going to be a crazy ride. So we're going to take it back to 2009 in Washington, D.C. So Tika was a 29-year-old, nine-month pregnant, recovering drug addict who was also homeless at the time.
Wow.
Yeah, not a great...
So she's about to have a baby. A baby.
A blably.
A blaby. And she's homeless and a recovering drug addict.
Yes.
Damn.
Mm-hmm. It's not a great combination.
A bleak picture to begin.
Yeah. So she wasn't really close with her family. And didn't really have anywhere to go. Her mom wasn't really in the picture, and she was kind of in an on-again, off-again relationship with her dad. She said he gave her tough love because of her choices she had made throughout her life. And her father actually did have a career in substance abuse to help those who suffer from addiction. So because Tika had an addiction problem, that made their relationship was strained.
So I'm sorry. The way you worded that was weird. She has an on-again, off-again relationship, like she's dating her dad.
No. No.
Like, I just want to clear that up real quick.
I don't think... Okay, well, if that's...
I'm just saying. The way you said it suggested that.
All right. Well, she and her dad...
So obviously not. But so her dad, it strained their relationship that she was having substance abuse. I feel like it should have brought them together because he fucking...
Oh, you were being serious?
Yeah. He knows how to deal with it, right? He should have just, like, helped her.
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess in theory what you're saying makes sense, but, like, she still is a drug addict, so that would strain any relationship, you know?
I mean, that's true.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But... So, basically, Tika said that she couldn't handle the fact that he treated her like one of his clients because he was, like, really hard on her. And it was tough on both of them because they were actually really close when she was growing up. So, that's just a little backstory on her family. So, in the fall of 2009, Tika was desperate to get off the street. She said it was like every man for themselves. People would grab at her, try to steal her things. She was staying in a shelter at that time, but she described it as the nastiest place you could ever be. And Tika was working really hard to take care of herself for the baby. She said she stopped smoking, she started drinking a lot more water, and she also had met a man named PJ while living in the homeless shelter, and they actually got married. So Tika was soon admitted to the Queen of Peace homeless shelter for pregnant women, which was great because it was really well maintained and run by Catholic nuns. She said she had her own room that she kept extremely clean because she said it was like having her own little apartment, and she felt like this was a new start for her. So at around when Tika was 7 months pregnant, she, yes.
Where's the dad, her dad, in this whole situation?
He's around. So, when I said on again, off again, I mean like he's in the picture still, like they still have
contact,
but like.
He's not helping her.
Yeah, he's not, like, giving her a place to stay because of, I guess, all of the things she had done in her past.
Had she, like, stolen from him?
It was not specified what their relationship, like, what it had gone through. But, I mean, she did it. She fully admitted. She's like, I'm not, like, a saint. I have done bad things. And her father, you know, they were like, we don't really... I mean, I don't know. They get along, but it was like a tough love relationship.
Here's what I'm trying to figure out.
Sure.
Is the dad kind of a douche or not?
I have because no idea. Because
I don't know. Like, it just, not giving your daughter a place to live while she's 9 months pregnant feels kind of shitty to me.
I thought the same thing. I don't really know. But
if she had, like, stolen from him in the past while she was living with him or something else... Maybe I could understand that, but...
That could have... I mean, I fully don't know, but that could have been something that made the relationship so strained. You know, if she was a recovering drug addict and she was also, like... I don't know, because she said he treated her like one of his clients, and, like, he's not going to let one of his clients, like, sleep on his couch. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's his daughter, so I know what you're saying.
It's her daughter.
No, it's weird. I don't know. I mean...
You brought her into being... like
yeah, no, I know, and like honestly her father doesn't really play a huge part in the story. It was just really? kind of backstory.
Okay.
Yeah. So where was I? Oh, so when Tika was around 7 months pregnant, she began receiving blocked phone calls to her cell phone. She said she didn't answer them for the first four or five times, but when she finally did answer, she was greeted by Stephanie Mills. Tika said that the woman on the phone sounded really nice and she was very soft-spoken. She said, Stephanie Mills said that she was a counselor who worked for a program that helped pregnant women in need, and she was given Tika's number. She said that the organization she worked for was set up to help pregnant women like Tika, and they provided assistance to mothers and their children. Like, they would supply them with baby clothes and car seats and cribs, basically anything she would need. Yes.
Question. Okay. So you said that she was 7 months pregnant when she started getting these calls.
Yeah.
So she wasn't in the charity run by the Catholic nuns.
She was. So the event that takes place happens when she was 9 months pregnant, but she began receiving calls around 7 months pregnant. So that's probably when she was in the shelter.
Homeless shelter.
No, I think she was in the shelter with the nuns at 7 months, but I'm sorry, that was confusing. So basically Stephanie Mills is like, I can give you anything you need, like, this is what I do. And so she said that all of the supplies she would need were kept in a warehouse, and Tika could come pick them up whenever she wanted, and she could pick out like whatever she wanted. Almost
seems too good to be true.
And that's literally what I have written in my notes. Yep. Almost sounds too good to be true, huh? So Tika was very interested and super excited. She received calls from Mills frequently, and they talked back and forth for a while. And eventually she made an appointment to pick up baby supplies from a warehouse in Maryland.
From a warehouse.
Yeah, right? That's a little... It's like... Awareness.
I don't know. It's just like we're obviously have that like mindset when we hear that like that there's going to be a survival story, right? When we hear something like a warehouse, but still I feel like Who the fuck is keeping baby supplies in a warehouse?
Yeah, like, it's a bit of a red flag, even if you don't know it's going to be a survival story, you know?
Yeah.
So her husband, PJ, was very concerned. And he was really nervous about the fact that they had no idea who this woman was. And he told Tika that she shouldn't rush into anything that she doesn't know about. And Tika's response to that was that she just felt really comfortable and wasn't worried. And she thought it was going to be fine. So Stephanie Mills picked up Tika the morning of December 5th around 6:30 in the morning. So on the drive, Tika said that they were chatting and laughing. They talked about Tika's pregnancy and how she had just gotten married and how happy she was. And all of a sudden, Stephanie's car started rattling and making weird noises. And so she asked Tika if it was all right if they could stop at her apartment that was nearby because she didn't want her car to break down. And she wanted to see if someone could come and take a look at her car. So Tika was like, yeah, sure, whatever. She told her that if the car wasn't safe to drive, she would have someone else to drive her home. So she was like, we're just going to make a quick stop. And then if everything goes wrong, I'll have someone else drive you home. She was like, okay, sounds great.
Fuck, this is in the time before Uber.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And also she's homeless. So she's not like,
right, gonna... and she does not have currency.
Right. When they got to her apartment, there were boxes everywhere, but she told Tika not to mind the boxes since she and her son had just moved there from New York. She showed her around, she showed her through the kitchen and to the bathroom, and then she led Tika to her unfurnished bedroom where she said Tika could sit and wait. She said...
What the fuck?
Yeah, it's a little creepy.
Yeah, sit and wait in my unfurnished bedroom?
Yeah.
I always... Like, I feel like you should wait in, like, the living room?
So, I think her reasoning for her not sitting in the living room was because her son slept on the couch. He wasn't, like, currently sleeping on the couch. But then again, she's sitting and waiting in her bedroom anyway, so it's like you're sitting...
Could you at least, like... Is there, like, literally nothing in the entire room?
like, no.
You can sit on the floor.
No, it's like...
Crisscross applesauce.
Yeah, it's like a mattress on the floor kind of thing.
Oh.
With, like, a little TV.
Sit on one of the boxes outside.
Yeah.
Thinking logically here.
Right. I mean, but at this point, she didn't know anything was wrong, and so she's like...
I know.
Okay.
She's like, all right, well, it's kind of weird.
Yeah. So she led her to the bedroom, and she was like, you can sit on this mattress and wait while I make some phone calls. And so she told Tika to just make herself comfortable, and she had some DVDs she could watch, so she put on a movie for Tika and made her a grilled cheese with bologna.
This is, like, weirdly childish?
Yeah.
Treatment.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, kinda. For sure.
Yeah, I was like, no, bitch, I want to listen to those phone calls. I want to know what's going on.
Right.
Stephanie.
If that even is your real name.
Yeah.
And it wasn't.
Mrs. Mills. It wasn't.
It wasn't.
Spoiler.
Spoiler.
Such a generic name.
Yeah, only basic bitches are named Stephanie. So Tika's husband then called her to check in, and she told him that she was at Stephanie's apartment, and he was like, wait a minute, that wasn't part of the plan.
Don't do that. Drop a pin.
Yeah, he's like,
except that it's 2009.
Yeah, so, oh, we love that just we exploding motorcycle.
Motorcycles, yes.
Incredible.
Bring them on.
He was concerned that she didn't even know where she was, and she told him everything was fine and just to relax, because she doesn't know where this apartment is. She just, like, was driven there, and she's like...
Fucking tell him exactly where you are.
She doesn't know.
I know.
And in that moment...
Find out.
I think that was, like, the moment where she kind of started to feel weird, because she's like, oh, shit, I actually don't know where I am. Like, I can't call someone and be like, come pick me up, because I don't know. Stephanie then came back into the room and put on a bootlegged copy of the movie Precious. I think at this point she had already watching a movie. I think she had already finished an entire movie because she had taken that long.
So it's like, what, an hour and a half later at least?
Yeah, at least. And then she comes in and puts on another movie.
This is weird.
It's super weird. So,
bitch... You do not take an hour and a half to call the car guy.
Right. Yeah.
You are so full of shit, Stephanie Mills.
Yeah.
Which isn't your name.
Right.
You cunt.
Sorry. Oh, okay. Or maybe
I'm
I'll...
sorry. Like, I just, I know that she's going to torture her. So I felt it was appropriate.
No, I think if anyone deserves that, it's this woman. So yep. I think that...
I stand by it.
Okay. Well, I also stand by it. Anyway, so... So Tika, what Tika didn't know was that Stephanie Mills' real name was Veronica Dramus, and she had used multiple aliases in her lifetime, so Stephanie Mills was just another one of those. So they're watching this movie, and so, because now...
So wait, they're watching it together now?
Yeah, so what I was just going to say is, so now Veronica, who is Stephanie, that's her name actually, Veronica, Veronica is now sitting on the bed with Tika, but like kind of behind her. So so they're watching this movie, and she said that she started to feel weird about the situation, and she said that Veronica was sitting on the bed behind her, and with her peripheral vision, she could only see part of Veronica. So all of a sudden, Veronica threw a heavy quilt over Tika's head and began hitting her in the head with a fire poker.
What the fuck?
Yeah, so... After hitting her over the head about 10 times, Tika jumped up and threw her hands up and said all she could see was blood. She managed to get away and ran to the front door, but the door was, like, quadruple locked. Like, it had, like, the little, like...
You're joking.
Yeah, like, the chain lock,
the bolts. You're
literally
out of a,
like,
fucking movie.
No, like, actually, quadruple locked.
So, and did she not... She obviously didn't see that on the way in.
I guess not.
Oh, my God.
Or... It wasn't like that, and then she put her in the bedroom and then came out and made the phone calls, quote-unquote, and locked the entire door. So,
oof.
Yeah. So,
yeah, I know. You look back and see four fucking locks on the door. You're like,
well, shit.
I'm dead.
Right. So, Veronica obviously got to the door before Tika could undo all of the locks, and she jumped on Tika's back and pulled her to the ground, and they began wrestling. Veronica was also much bigger than Tika, so it wasn't a very fair fight.
Tika's also fucking pregnant.
Tika's also, let's not forget, she's 9 months pregnant at this point, because she...
Yeah. Imagine wrestling with, like, I don't know, what, a 20-pound medicine ball taped to your stomach?
Yeah.
That's gotta be what it's like, right?
I mean, 30?
I don't know how many pounds it is, but it's not nothing.
It's not nothing. I know that much. Yeah, but Veronica was, like, significantly bigger than Tika. So we have to remember, Tika had been hit in the head with this fire poker, like, multiple times before this, so she's bleeding really badly from her head.
And is also disoriented.
And is probably. very disoriented. Her eyes are burning because she has friggin' blood in her eyes. Her head is pounding, and she's dizzy while wrestling this crazy woman. And Tika said Veronica was trying to put her hands over her mouth and strangle her, but she put up as much of a fight as she possibly could. Veronica then got the fire poker again and began hitting Tika. She said she must have hit her around 40 times with this metal fire poker.
40.
Yeah. And after that, Tika passed out.
Is she, like, I mean, I'm assuming she's trying to, like, block it with her arms, but after some time, it's, like, useless.
Yeah. She was hit in the head, like, so many times. So after a couple of minutes, Tika wakes up to Veronica dragging Tika by her ankles into the kitchen. And Tika heard her rattling around in drawers looking for something. And all of a sudden, she knelt down next to Tika, and she said she began feeling a really sharp pain go up her side. She then realized that Veronica had a box cutter in her hand, and she had sliced Tika down her side.
No. She's trying to do, like, a fucking C-section right now?
So this is attempt number one.
No.
Yeah.
No.
So...
No.
And, okay, that's what I'm... No. So this is a really...
No.
So, no. Yeah. Okay.
Fuck.
Yeah. So... No, okay, so this is, she cuts her down her side and in the kitchen, and Tika's bleeding everywhere, and then Veronica rolled onto the floor next to her and begins praying. So, she's like, oh God, forgive me, I'm
Wait,
a sinner, blah, blah, blah.
This bitch is cutting her, and then, like, lays down next to her and starts praying?
Yeah, she's crazy.
Oh my God. Well... Obviously.
You're like, what? That doesn't make sense. And it's like, well... crazy people don't make sense.
All right. I'm starting to realize to what extent she's crazy.
Yeah.
This woman is literally insane.
Cuckoo nutso.
And should be in a psychiatric hospital. Absolutely. For the rest of her life.
For sure.
Oh my God. I can't even imagine how terrifying that must feel.
I honestly, like...
I can't even... It is... I can't not... most of the time I could, like, kind of put myself there. I can't put myself
there. No, that's what I was just saying. I was just going to say. Like, when it comes to stories like this, like, it's a crazy story. And, like, obviously I like true crime for whatever reason and it interests me. But, like, for things like this, like, I can't even begin to put myself there. Like, I don't even... Like, my brain won't even allow it, you know? Nope. So... Yeah. So yeah, she cuts her down the side, she's bleeding, and then she rolls over and she's like, I'm a sinner, God help me, forgive me, whatever. And so, are you raising your hand again?
I don't know. I would just like to say, if she is religious, perhaps the Bible has some clause that might say, don't hit a woman with a fire poker 40 times and cut her down the side when she's 9 months pregnant.
Thou shalt not use thou a box cutter.
Thou shalt not use thy fire poker on a woman, what, 10 times before? 50 times? You get 49.
Yeah. So Tika doesn't have the energy to do anything. Are you okay?
I don't know. I can't believe she's, like, religious in the same person.
Well.
Okay.
She's a crazy person.
Okay, again, yes. But again.
I'm just going to continue to remind you.
God damn it. Can we just, like, flesh out how crazy this is?
That's go ahead.
That's just all I'm trying to do.
We're not even a quarter of the way through. We're probably a quarter of the way through. That's, yeah.
No.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Shit gets bad. We're going to have to, like, strap in.
Keep going.
Okay, let's just trudge ahead. So, So Tika doesn't have the energy to do anything, so she's just laying there and begging Veronica to let her go and to not hurt her anymore. So Veronica gets up and starts grabbing towels to clean up. That's, like, her... She's like, I'm gonna leave Tika on the floor, and I'm just gonna clean up what's going on. So, motorcycle number two. So Veronica then comes back to the kitchen and gets on her hands and knees and asks Tika if she can get up and walk. And Tika says she can't move because hello.
Because hello.
Because hello. So Veronica pulls Tika up and basically drags her back into the bedroom where she lays her down on the mattress that's on the floor. So Tika's bleeding eventually slowed and stopped. Veronica takes Tika's cell phone, turns it off, and begins pacing around, looking out the windows, and is just very paranoid. So Tika starts pleading with Veronica, and her idea was that if she kept talking to her, it might scare Veronica into letting Tika go. So, which is very smart. And so she's talking about people who are going to start looking for her, and she brought up Veronica's kids, and that they both have families, and that she wouldn't say anything because she didn't believe in keeping people away from their families, which... I mean, is a really good attempt to humanize herself, but Veronica didn't say anything back, and she just kept pacing, and, but Tika said that she could tell that what she was saying was getting to Veronica.
Right.
Yeah, so super, super good survival instinct, and I think it did help a little bit, but not enough to completely deter Veronica from doing what she set out to do. Veronica puts on more movies. So Tika is just watching these movies and basically also watching her pace around the room like a crazy person. And so Tika stayed up for most of the night, but at some point passed out. And when she woke up, Veronica was still pacing around, although she said she seemed a little bit more relaxed.
Yeah, you'd imagine that, like, 8 to 9 hours of pacing might calm one down.
Right.
Or just, like, sap your energy. Is she a schizophrenic?
I have no idea. I don't know.
That's what it kind of sounds like.
Yeah, I mean, something's wrong with her.
Or maybe she's, like, on fucking meth or something? I don't know.
I don't know. But, so Tika decides to try something else. And so she's, like, she basically tells Veronica to just kill her. To which Veronica responds that she has to get out of there. She's like, I have to get out of here. I can't even talk about this. So basically that showed Tika that she didn't want to kill her. But at this point, oh, motorcycle number three. this is great.
It's a real symphony tonight.
A live count. So she said she knew that she didn't want to kill her, but at this point, Tika knows where she lives. She knows what her car looks like. She knows, I guess, kind of where... Oh, I just said where she lived. Hello? Knock, knock. Anyone home?
What is going on tonight?
We're having a parade,
apparently. We're having technical difficulties.
Yeah.
She knows three things. Same again.
Yeah, she knows where Veronica lives, pretty much. She knows what her car looks like. She knows she has a family. She knows what she looks like. She knows everything, pretty much.
Right. How does she know about where she lives? Did Veronica say something?
She doesn't know like an address, but she was driven there. So
okay.
I'm sure if she had to, she could like kind of give them a radius.
So she's probably going to look for a phone.
Well, she can't.
Veronica's still in the room with her?
Yeah, and she's like tied up and, you know, so.
Okay, I didn't know she was tied up.
Yeah, so this is now day two. And so Veronica's son comes into the room that Tika's being held in, and now Tika's scared shitless because she's like, oh great, not only do I have to deal with one crazy lady, but also her son is insane too. So she was convinced that they were going to torture her, and Veronica told her son to hold tightly onto her wrists because, quote, she's a fighter, and they bound her wrists and I believe ankles with a do-rag. So Tika was hogtied and then left on the bed to lay in a pool of her own blood. So Veronica and her son take turns watching her, feeding her. And at one point, Veronica bathed Tika. She said that the blood in her hair was getting on Veronica's pillows, and so she washed it out. When she got out of the shower, Veronica cut her nails to get rid of any of Veronica's DNA that had gotten under Tika's nails during the fight. And so this is where in my notes I have a big bolded squeamish warning. It's about to get really bad.
No.
So if you don't want to listen to this part, just skip ahead because this is bad.
Could you like what?
And I'm not laughing because it's funny. I'm laughing because it's nervous laughter. This is bad.
I'm assuming that this is C-section. Attempt number two.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. So, So at the end of the third day, Veronica entered the bedroom with a metal mixing bowl full of ice water with a rag in it, about six towels,
no.
Two box cutters, a pair of scissors, and a knife.
No.
So she put the bowl of water on the floor by the futon or the mattress that she was laying on, and took the lampshade off of the lamp to give her better lighting. She put the rag in Tika's mouth and duct taped completely around Tika's face so she could only really breathe out of her nostril or her little nose. And Tika said in this moment she realized that she wasn't the only thing that Veronica wanted. She wanted to take Tika's baby because at this point she didn't realize that she was like trying to literally cut the baby out of her. Mm. She then took the box cutter and cut straight up the middle of Tika's stomach. From the pubic region all the way up to her belly button.
Oh my god.
Yeah. So Tika said that she could feel absolutely everything, but there wasn't anything she could do, so she just lay there and took it. Tika also said that this wasn't all in one go. So Veronica would stop and go into the living room and make calls, and then she would come back and continue.
Are you fucking kidding me?
I really wish I was.
So she would cut a couple inches and then just go make some calls?
Well, I think she made the one initial cut and then she would go back and forth between like trying to cut further into her body because, okay, so she cut through layers of fat, muscle, and obviously all the layers of her skin until she was exposed, until her internal organs and most importantly, her uterus were exposed.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. So she started to pull apart her skin and put her hands inside Tika's wound to feel around to see where the baby was.
No, 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 no.
Yeah.
Oh no. That's like, that's a violation on another level that isn't even understandable.
No. Yeah. I mean,
from anyone other than her.
Yeah. When I say I can't even begin to put my head in this space, I can't even begin.
Oh my God.
Like, I can't even let myself. And this is all very much nervous laughter. So let's just get that that clear. Okay. So, this, can you tell I'm nervous? Can you tell this is hard to talk about?
It's like, yeah, so.
So, let's move on.
It's like, this bitch is currently trying to open her uterus.
Let's not like dwell on it, because it's really bad. So,
just saying.
Yeah, no, it's super
bad. What's happening.
This is also really bad. This next part is super bad. Mm. So she cut, Tika's bladder, thinking that it was her water sac. So if she had cut through Tika's uterus, 100% she would have bled out, and the baby most likely would not have survived. And Tika said that all she could do was take really deep breaths. She was just clinging on to the fact that she needed to survive so that her baby wouldn't die. And so Veronica told Tika everything was exposed and all she had to do was reach in and grab the baby. But for some reason, she asked Tika if she wanted to get it over with now or if she wanted to sleep. And so Tika obviously said she was in a lot of pain and needed to rest. Okay, let's take a breath. That part is over.
Whew. Okay. So, sorry, my knee-jerk reaction would be to get it over with. Because
okay,
if she's left open, she's bleeding all night.
Yes.
But then I guess she has the baby?
Well, okay, so I think her reasoning behind this was she needed to buy herself more time. That way she could potentially escape.
That makes sense.
Because, I mean, if she continued, she 100% would have died. No doubt. Yeah. But, like, this, like, giving her a little bit time to rest, like, gave her a shred of a chance to survive.
And
she did. And
the only reason her baby survives is because fucking Veronica cut the wrong place.
Yeah. So, yeah, she's not a doctor. She's a crazy person.
Excuse me. I guess, thank God.
Yeah. So, Tika said, oh, this is also just a weird little bit of information about, like, that whole ordeal. So Tika said that there was a Michael Jackson movie playing in the background
Could you imagine?
Okay, so it was playing in the background the entire time that it was happening, and every time Michael or someone would start talking, Veronica would rewind the movie so that she could get back to the singing and dancing. So...
Are you fucking kidding?
She's crazy. And so when...
So this is like the entire, like,
hours,
quote-unquote operation from her perspective had to be over Michael Jackson singing.
Yes. And so even when Tika was completely cut open, she thought to herself, why the fuck is this woman watching this? Because she said that she hated Michael Jackson. So of course, Tika hates Michael Jackson. I mean, not that you're going to be enjoying yourself at all, but she was like, I was so pissed because I freaking hate Michael Jackson.
On top of it all.
Yeah.
Really? She hates Michael Jackson?
When she said it in the interview, it was kind of funny because she just, like, mentioned it offhandedly. She was like, and I really hate Michael Jackson. And she's like, whatever. Like, she didn't want to talk about it. She's like, I know this is a hot take. I don't want to talk about it. Which was kind of funny. So Tika told Veronica that her hands were swollen because of the duct tape, and she said it was too tight, so she cut it off, and then she I guess tied her again with, like, the do-rag. I don't know. So Tika eventually passed out, but so when she woke up, Veronica was wrapped up in a white blanket asleep in the fetal position in front of the door, like the bedroom door. Mm. But it was open, but just, you know, asleep in front of it. So Tika knew that this was her only chance to try to escape. And so she, I don't know how, like, this whole, like, portion of the story is, like, I don't know. I like, logically, I don't know how she managed to get up and, like, do this. Because I feel like
she's cut open.
Like, to the extent so we're going to get there. So Tika rolled over onto her side. And so the bowl that Veronica was using was still next to the bed. And her ring knocked onto it, knocked up against it, and made a sound. And so she just, like, bolted, like, her eyes, like, bolted to Veronica. And she's waiting for her to wake up or do something, but she didn't wake up. So she rolls onto the ground and on her elbows and knees and prays to God to let her stand up, because she said she knew that if she could stand up, she could get out of there. So she did. She stood up.
I thought you said she was hogtied at this point.
So she wasn't anymore.
Okay.
Because so this was that was the second day.
Her hands and ankles are tied, or just her hands?
I don't think she's tied up at all anymore. Because, I mean, she's completely cut open, so I don't think Veronica was like, oh, she's going to stand up and walk out of here. Like, I'm sure she assumed she couldn't.
Right, okay.
And, like, the second level of, like, protection, I guess, from her escaping was her asleep in front of the door. So.
Yeah, where's the son?
Asleep on the couch. So. Oh,
fuck.
Yeah, so she got up. She stood up. And so... She said as soon as she got to her feet, her legs began to shake, and she said they felt like rubber bands. So she's on her feet, and she started to take some steps, but she needed to get past Veronica, who was, like I said, laying in front of the door. And so she took a step over Veronica, and so now, at this point, she's basically straddling Veronica's sleeping body, and some of the blood from her stomach dripped onto this white blanket that was wrapped around Veronica. And so again, she had an oh shit moment where she's like, Veronica's gonna wake up or feel it. And like, dude, what a crazy picture, you know? But yeah. So again, Veronica didn't wake up. So yeah, so thankfully she doesn't wake up, and Tika continues to make it over her sleeping body. And so she's now walking down the hallway. And so she's taking a couple steps down the hallway. And her entire inside basically falls out. So her stomach, her intestines, her everything falls out, and she like has to catch it in her hands. So, so
no
nervous laughter.
No.
Yeah. So, so Tika catches them and has them in her hands, and tries to control her breathing so that she doesn't wake anyone up. So she's trying to really like slow her breathing and like not hyperventilate. And she continues to the door. So when she gets into the living room and is almost to the door, she sees that Veronica's son is also asleep on the couch right next to the front door. So she starts unlocking the door while she's staring at him, because she's again like this like holy shit, like only in a movie escape moment.
Can't even imagine.
So she got the door open and it creaked, and nothing happened. He didn't wake up. So she made it out the door and she started.
So she unlocked all four.
She unlocked all things. Of them, and the door creaked, and still he didn't open. He didn't wake up. So
right.
She makes it out of the apartment. And so they're in this apartment complex. So she goes up to like, so, how do I explain this apartment complex? So basically there's so they're on the ground level. That's where Veronica's apartment is. And then the second floor is like an outdoor like balcony. So it's like an outdoor staircase. You know what I'm talking about? And then like, like outdoor, it's not like an indoor apartment complex.
So when you walk out, you can go up the stairs, but like there's like a platform around the apartments that are outdoors.
Yes.
And it's kind of like on the inside of the apartment.
Right.
Right.
So she makes it out of the apartment. She walks up to the second floor, and she's basically banging on people's doors, and she's screaming, and she's like, help me. And basically, this wakes up Veronica and her son.
Well,
and so,
I guess, no shit, but like,
right.
Somebody else, please. For
yeah.
the love of God.
Yeah. So Veronica and her son both come out of their apartment and were literally directly below Tika. And she tried to like slide up against the wall, but Veronica's son had spotted her. And so he and his mother ran up the stairs to Tika, where they had her backed into a corner. And so Veronica tries picking up Tika and to pull her back into the apartment, but Tika starts kicking and biting and putting up like a really crazy fight, and she's screaming. And so
her insides are still out of her body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's also something.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so...
She has one fucking hell of a will to live. Mm-hmm. Like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so Tegas cries, finally did get a neighbor to come out of their apartment. And he comes out and he's like, what the fuck is going on? And so also another important little bit of information, Teek is wearing a navy blue, like, big t-shirt. So you couldn't even see the bloodstains. It was just, like, dark t-shirt. So if her t-shirt, really? Yeah. So, like, if the only way you could tell that Tika was, like completely cut open was if she lifted up her t-shirt. So, he's like, what the fuck is going on? And so... Veronica is also still completely covered in blood and tells this man not to worry, and that Tika had just had a miscarriage and that she was delusional, and they were just trying to help her. Are you okay?
Does this man believe it? Does he fucking believe it?
No.
Okay.
So
I was about to lose my shit.
Yeah. So he's basically trying to work out.
I'm sorry. Out of this entire apartment complex, one man mm-hmm. comes out of his apartment to check what the fuck's going on.
Yeah.
One person.
At this point,
only one.
Yeah.
A single person is her salvation.
Yeah.
How many people are in this apartment complex?
I don't know. A lot.
How many fucking shitting people are just sitting there listening to this woman scream and not calling 911?
I mean, I don't...
I'm angry.
I know, I can tell.
I'm angry.
I can tell.
I hate that shit.
I know.
Have you heard the stories where, like...
like a stand... Or what's it called? Bystander effect.
Yeah. Yes, I hate that shit. You always do it. No one else will. And there was this story where some woman got murdered, right?
Mm-hmm.
And nobody called.
Yeah.
That infuriates me.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that's happened. Well, I mean, thank God
for this one person, but fuck everyone else in this apartment complex. Yeah. I'm mad.
Yeah, angry.
Okay, continue.
Yeah. So basically, Tika's yelling, Veronica's yelling, and he's just trying to work out what side of the story is real.
Please call the cops. Please call the cops.
So Tika is like, she's trying to kill me, and she lifts up her t-shirt, and she doesn't know what it looked like because she couldn't see it, but she said whatever he saw was enough for him to be like, oh my fucking God, and call. And he said, I'm gonna call the police. And then he went back to like go call the police. And so Tika then said Veronica shot her a look that was like, I should have killed you when I had the chance. And then she and her son ran away. So now
it's like, yeah, bitch, you're going to jail for life,
right? So now Tika just had to hold on. And so the neighbors in this complex were now coming out of their apartments and kind of watching what was going on. And I don't know if this is true or not, but one of the documentaries I watched said that a young girl came out to Tika and wrapped her in a blanket. But I don't know if that's true or not.
Well, somebody should have come and, like, I don't know, tried to stop her bleeding, comforted her.
She's not doing well. So the EMTs arrived, but still had no idea to what extent Tika's wounds were, since, like I said, her shirt was covering it.
Yeah, and
it was,
and I'm sure most of it is internal bleeding.
Yeah, I mean, and it's like they didn't see how bloody her shirt was because it was dark blue. So the EMTs are, like, asking her questions because she's lucid and she's, like, answering them. And they're like, are you okay? Like, are you hurt?
Pull up the shirt.
And she literally said, yeah, I have cuts on my abdomen and I've been beaten in the head. And then she lifted her shirt and she... Motorcycle number what? 4 or 5?
It's not great timing.
Not great. So she lifted her shirt and she said that the EMT's face was like... It like went white. Like it looked like he was about to throw up. And the EMT said that you couldn't even see any skin on her abdomen. All you could see were her intestines and her bladder and her uterus and, you know, they said you could see the shape of the baby in her uterus. Like, you could literally see the outline. Yeah.
That made my skin crawl. Ooh.
Yeah. So they weren't sure at this point that the baby was going to survive, because the cuts had happened the night before and they didn't know how long she had been like this.
Right.
So Tika was rushed to the Prince George Hospital. and the odds of survival for both Tika and the baby were very slim. They performed an emergency C-section, and they delivered an 8-pound, 2-ounce healthy little girl.
Fuck yes.
Yeah. So, but now they're tasked with trying to put Tika back together. So, right. While all of this is going on, the Prince George police were on a manhunt to try to find Veronica Doremus and her son. And so they found the abandoned car that Doremus had used to kidnap Tika, but it was actually registered to her sister. And the sister was very cooperative and told the police what she knew. And she explained that Veronica had contacted her after fleeing the crime scene and asked for a ride because, ironically, Veronica's car had broken down and she was stranded on the side of the road. So she called her sister for help.
Way. Yeah. So her car actually was a piece of shit.
Yes. So luckily that is true. Yeah. So Veronica called her sister to ask her to bring her to the bus station. But as they pulled up, there was a police car there. And so I guess she got freaked out and like didn't go into the bus station. I'm kind of unclear about how Veronica and her sister left off. But once the police were questioning Veronica's sister, they gave her a business card to call if she knew anything else. And so to the police's surprise, Veronica herself actually called into the police. And she tried to explain that she had paid Tika $5,000 for her to perform an at-home C-section and then take Tika's baby. Like she paid her for that. Like that was what they were supposed to do. And then she claimed that when she came to pick up Tika, for this, you know, at-home C-section that they had both, you know,
agreed to. Yeah, right.
Yeah, she said that Tika had told her that she had already spent the $5,000 and she wasn't going to give up the baby. So they told her, the police told her that she needed, oh wait, hello? Yeah, so the police were like, we need to come pick you up so that we can get your official story. So after hours of back and forth on the phone with her, she finally revealed where she was and they came to pick her up.
Wow.
And they said they sent a single officer to pick her up because they didn't want to spook her. And they didn't even put her in handcuffs. She just got in the back of the car.
So, really?
Yeah, that's what they, I mean, she's a crazy person. Okay.
So, but here's my thing. They send one officer? They didn't have, like, undercover?
I don't know. I mean, according to the thing I watched, they said they just sent one officer because they didn't want to, like, let on that
okay.
she was...
That's stupid.
It was a little stupid.
Okay, so send one officer to confront her and then, like, literally fucking surround this place.
Yeah, I'll just...
I'm sorry?
I'll just call it
like,
the...
Like, you're giving me a look like, oh, come on.
No, I'm not.
You're giving me that look.
No, I just think it's... I just think it's funny that... I just think it's funny. no, I mean, I'll just call up that police department and be like, listen, I got a guy who knows what you should do.
yeah, like, you guys fucked up. Like... I'm just saying, like, logically, why would you send one person in there to arrest this person who basically tried to fucking cut a baby out of a woman?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they had officers nearby, but, I mean, for them to not, okay, you know...
This is, again, annoying me that they aren't, like, clamping down on this bitch. Like, what's happening?
I know. I'm sorry. I am only the storyteller. I can't change it. But, so... So the police discovered that Veronica had told her friends and family and boyfriend that she was pregnant and she was expecting to deliver the baby within the next week or two. So now she had to just like produce this baby, which is where Tika came in. So yeah. What's up? You good?
What the fuck?
Yeah.
I have no words. I have nothing to add. The fuck? That's all I gotta say.
Yeah. So now we're gonna go back to Tika. So doctors were able to put Tika completely back together. And shortly after surgery, she was reunited with her daughter. She named her Miracle Sky. So because she's a miracle.
Yeah. That's a fitting name.
It is. And so doctors said that the baby was balled up in the very top of her uterus, which is why she was so hard to get to. And it saved her life. So,
Wow.
Yeah. So news of Tika's situation spread to people from all over, and she received letters and support, and people sent baby clothes and car seats and strollers. So basically everything that, you know, Veronica promised her, she ended up getting anyway, which is great. And, you know, she was homeless, so this is a, she needed it. And so Tika... Oh, yeah. So Tika needed to have a catheter because her bladder was completely mangled by Doremus. And she needed to learn how to walk again. And she had to obviously strengthen back up all of her muscles and her abdomen. And she did recover fairly quickly, but the doctors did tell her that it was possible that she may not be able to have any more children due to the damage she sustained. And so... Veronica Doremus was charged with first-degree attempted murder, first and second-degree assault, kidnapping, and I think that's it. There might have been more thing. But when Tika heard the claims that Veronica was making in the courtroom, so, you know, they're in the courtroom together because obviously this is what's happening.
Right.
And so when Tika heard that she was claiming about the whole $5,000 thing, she literally dove over the wall and tried to attack her. She dove over and was like, I'm going to kill this bitch. And so Tika said the only thing that saved Veronica was Tika's father, who had tackled Tika to the floor. And she said that the judge was just sitting back and not really doing anything because she's like, fuck this bitch. So.
Yeah, I mean. Wow. Yeah. Like, if there was ever a situation where you'd kind of like just you let it go. Let it go and let her kill her.
Mm-hmm.
It would be now.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yep. So Veronica only got 25 years. She got 25 to life, but was eligible for parole in 12 years. And people were super pissed about that sentence because there's some wiggle room in there for her to be released.
At least possibly. Early on good behavior after 20.
Right. And she's eligible for parole in 12. So Tika
in
said
12?
12 years, yeah. Yeah, so.
Are you kidding me?
I know.
Are you kidding me?
I know. So Tika said once she is finally eligible for parole and has a parole hearing, Tika will be there. She said she doesn't care if it takes 12 years or 25 years. As long as she is on this earth, nothing would stop her from being there. So, I mean, hopefully, you know, she wouldn't be released because of the severity of her crimes, but, you know, there is some leniency
in
there.
Sorry, what state is this in?
Washington, D.C.?
I guess Washington, D.C. is its own entity.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's happened in 2009, it's 11 years later, it happens next year. Literally happens next year, right?
Yeah.
Damn. Holy shit.
Damn. Yeah, I didn't think that far ahead. I was like, that's so far away. I mean,
next episode, we should be like, if you disagree with this, please send letters here or emails here.
Right. Yeah, I'll, if there's anything to report about this, I'll include it in the first episode.
How you would be like, after 12 years of thinking, Miss Veronica has really reformed.
She's really reflected on
trying
her...
to cut a baby out of a pregnant woman.
Right.
You know, she feels sorry, and she's not going to do it again.
No, she'll never do
it. She's had a good time out of 12 years. What the fuck?
She's the leader of our art program.
She should die in prison.
Yeah. I mean, she...
What judge, like... laid that down.
Well, again, I think it's like,
or is it the laws?
I don't know.
Constrained him to give that sentence?
I don't know.
Hello?
I mean, I think that because it was attempted murder, it has a difference.
I get it, but she would have finished the job.
Yeah. Absolutely she would have.
Like, yeah, I don't know. I would are there not degrees of attempted murder? Because, I don't know, I feel like there's a difference. Because
I'm sure
she has had whatever, like, there was premeditation, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And she...
I think it was first-degree attempted murder. Let me check. Where
like
did
she
that
planned
go?
It out and like fully intended to kill her.
Yeah, 100%. So, yeah, first degree attempted murder.
Yeah,
and then that, first and second degree assault and yeah. kidnapping.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like a first degree attempted murder should absolutely carry the same sentence as murder because you fully intended to do it. You just didn't do it.
Right. You didn't like.
You just didn't do it. Yeah. You just didn't complete it. That's the right. only difference.
Mm-hmm.
But you totally would have done it.
So I agree.
The exact same danger to society as somebody who actually murdered somebody.
Yeah, I agree. And honestly, could be potentially more dangerous because she didn't get what she was looking for, which is a baby.
Right.
So, yeah. I mean, people were pissed. People were pissed about this sentencing. But, I mean, it is what it is. Can't change it. So, yeah, we're closing out here. So, Tika said... she survived because she had gotten to a point where she loved and respected herself and she cherished life. She also said that she survived because of God and her support system. And she knew a lot of people loved her. And she said, quote, like they say, God looks after babies and fools. And she said that at that time she had a baby and she was a fool.
Wow.
And that's it. That is the story of Tika Adams.
Damn. Where is she today? Do you know?
I don't know. I mean, I would assume Washington, D.C. still. I think she did get an apartment with her husband in Washington, D.C.
That's good.
Yeah. Anything to say about this?
I don't know. I was just kind of like, that's kind of a happy ending.
Yeah, it is. I mean,
how fucked up this is.
Absolutely. I mean, she has a healthy baby girl and she has her husband.
Miracle
and,
Sky.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yep. Yeah.
Damn. Yeah, that was a rough one.
It absolutely was. Thank you for hanging in there. And do you have anything good that happened to you this week or anything we can lift our spirits with a little bit?
I can't believe I'm saying this.
What?
I got a new iPhone.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah.
It just seemed the contrast between this story and right. a new iPhone is...
It's comical.
Comical.
Yeah.
But yeah, I got... Got the iPhone SE after I've had the previous iPhone SE that looks like an iPhone 5 for, like, what, 3 years?
Yeah.
I'm a technology grandpa, despite having a job in tech.
Yeah, isn't that funny?
It's funny.
You have, like, a techie-ass job, and yet you use a potato as a phone.
Yep.
Love that.
So I've sadly retired the potato, although the potato was still running good.
No, it wasn't.
The potato was fine.
It was not
the potato
running
was
good.
Fine. It was running. Its battery was just kicking.
The battery is not the whole phone,
okay.
though.
Okay, I don't want to hear it, but like
you couldn't
usually
even
the
hear
first
on
thing
speakerphone.
That goes, okay, but it was still functioning and it was good. I had dropped that thing so many times,
yeah.
And you know, Old Faithful was still going. We got a new phone though.
Yeah,
that's my good thing.
Yeah. My good thing, my Aunt Robin sent me tea.
Oh, we
have to
talk
about
this.
It. Yeah, so in one of our episodes, when we were talking about, like, send an email to our email account to, like, tell us a story, and we were like, oh, and if you have any tea, send us tea, meaning, like, send us your gossip, you know, because that's what the kids
no,
say.
She's gonna know now.
No, I know. I'm sure she does. But it was just so funny because I got a package that had a little letter in it that was like, my favorite tea for my favorite podcasters. And it was so sweet. And it made me so happy. And like, I thought that it was just like, just that. And then I would text her to say thank you. And she was like, because you asked for tea. And I was like, oh, my God, that is incredible. So,
yeah, she sent an old-fashioned email.
Yeah.
She sent a mail.
It was great. It was so fun. And, yeah, so.
It's fantastic. And we've actually drank.
We did.
The tea,
and it was really good.
Pretty good.
It was really good.
Really good.
So, Aunt Robin, if you're listening, thank you so much.
Shout out, Aunt Robin.
Yeah, it made my week. So, that's my good thing. And, yeah, so let's plug the socials. So,
yep.
If you would like to keep up with the case file or pictures and, you know, everything.
Case file pictures.
Yeah, and like links and videos and all this stuff.
Instagram.
Follow us on Instagram. Our handle is nottoday_podcast. If you or anyone you know has a story that you'd like to share with us, whether it be survival or true crime or anything creepy that's ever happened, I'll take paranormal and I'll take that tea, damn it. Send us an email at notodaypodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at nottodaypodcast, but the T on the end of podcast is a 3.
Because that makes sense.
And is that everything?
That's it.
I think that's
it. It's all the relevant social media.
Yeah. Well, it's, yeah, it's fun. Yeah. Yeah.
Follow us on MySpace.
Yeah. And, you know, I guess, guys, just keep
breathing. Yeah.
Yeah.